and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
Hey, 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 let's go.
Hey, 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 hey. Let's go.
Hey, 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 let's go.
Hey, 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 let's go.
Radio XL is the promo code, papajohns.com. The Papa John's app, Radio XL, is going to get you a two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter for just $14. Again, that's Radio XL, papajohns.com, or the Papa John's app. Two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter for just $14. Text at 437-9680, which we 100% ignored in the first hour, so I apologize about that, but we'll get into some of the texts that did come in. Texter... in the middle of that conversation, says, talk sports. I just tuned in. Tommy. Texas says, if the NCAA passes a new grad transfer, it would not start before the next NCAA year, which starts in the fall semester. Kimball would be enrolled for U of L this summer, so new rule would likely not affect him. My question then would be, and that very well could be the case, if that's the case, I would wonder if it didn't go into effect that next year, would it go into effect in terms of, well, you had a grad transfer on your team that did not graduate, so then it's going into effect that you now are going to be docked a scholarship? Or does it go into effect of starting now, if you have a grad transfer, then the next year it will be docked a scholarship? That would be the question I would have. And if that's the case, if it doesn't start till next year and it's like, okay, now if you get scholarships or grad transfers, it will affect you the next year after that, which was would essentially be what, 2022's NCAA basketball tournament, then it wouldn't really have an impact on Louisville next year with Kimball, and it wouldn't have an impact on Louisville next year if they were to get another grad transfer, if another scholarship opened up. If, say, they had one available and a Kerry Blackshear wanted to go to Louisville, which would be a dynamite addition to Louisville. It would be a dynamite addition anywhere in America if that were to be the case, if Kerry Blackshear, who is – not going to play in the NBA this year, which I fully believe is like Reed Travis, and most everybody thought Reed Travis was going to end up transferring somewhere. The question was he going to end up at Kentucky? Was he going to go somewhere else? He ended up at Kentucky, as we all know. Now, last night at The Athletic, Kyle Tucker had the piece in which he talked to Kerry Blackshear's dad, talking about that his phone is ringing off the hook. You name the school, they've called, he said to Kyle Tucker. Now, Kyle Tucker also pointed out that that as of dinner time on Tuesday, that nobody at Kentucky had reached out. And he said one source familiar with the recruitment said that was still true late Tuesday. Blackshear Sr. said to Kyle Tucker, quote, I've not talked to Calipari, I've not talked to anyone there, but if Kentucky called, they would be a viable option, absolutely. Now, what late Tuesday refers to, that would be, you know, Kyle Tucker would know that as to whenever he got the information from, you know, his source with the Blackshear family. There's two other reports that were out there that last night, one at 9:22 and then one after 10 o'clock last night, that both said Kentucky and the Blackshears had been in contact. Now, that was last night after 9 o'clock. So what does late Tuesday mean? I don't know. Dinner time, they hadn't been contacted with Kentucky or by Kentucky. Kyle Tucker then says late Tuesday, they hadn't been contacted by Kentucky. But then two reports, one after 9 o'clock, one after 10 o'clock, that said Blackshear and Kentucky representatives had been talking and shared their mutual interest in Kerry Blackshear Jr. So while there is the talk of, well, have they reached out, have they not, there's now a couple of people that have said, yes, they have absolutely reached out, which would make sense. Again, every team in America is probably reaching out. I'd have to imagine that Chris Mack in Louisville has reached out. Again, as I've said, if you draw up the prototype of who would be a phenomenal four-out, one-in player for Chris Mack's system, it would be a picture of Kerry Blackshear. And just say, you know, it's like it's Outkast's prototype. You know, it's Chris Mack in recruiting Kerry Blackshear Jr. to be a grad transfer would essentially just play Andre's prototype for him. And that's it. That's the whole recruitment. And hope that he's into Outkast. That's all he would say. How many people got that reference? I really hope a lot. I hope a lot of people got that reference. I really do. We will not sing. Well, you know what? Maybe we do Andre 3000 prototype at 5 o'clock with Dave Big. You know what? We do that if Kerry Blackshear commits to Louisville. If Kerry Blackshear commits to Louisville, or if there are reports that Louisville is in on Kerry Blackshear, or when he starts to shave his school list down and get less and less and start to hone in on a couple of schools, and you say, all right, here's his impact there. And if Louisville's a part of that, well, then yes, then we can probably sing a little Andre and prototype with Dave. We've got another song in the mix. We've actually already have the song, which is a nice change from what has been tradition of us at 5:01 saying, what do we want to do? I don't know. Let's just pick a song. Great, let's do it. And then Magic picks a remix song, and it's the MTV's Unplugged version for some reason. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing? And the whole thing turns out to be a train wreck. But that is not going to be the case today. We already have one in tow. Other news that has happened today, in case you're just joining us, we talked about it in the first hour. Jamal Baker has transferred, had his name in the transfer portal. Cal said a lot of nice things about Jamal Baker, and they'll do whatever they can to help him in the future. Along with Tyler Hero, Keldon Johnson made official that earlier today that he was keeping his name in the NBA draft. None of that is a surprise, not in the least. I've been talking about that, you know, Hero and Keldon Johnson. I would look at Kentucky next year and say neither of those guys are returning. I've also said that I'm looking at Louisville next year in Jordan Wara not being a part of the team. Because I think what I would rather do is assess a team based on what I know is a given, and those are the players that are there. And then if you add in Jordan Wara, now you can talk about how much better they are. I think they're top 20, top 15 without Jordan Wara. You throw in Wara, now you can change some things. And I do it differently with Kentucky because I didn't think Hero or Keldon Johnson were even in the slightest going to choose to return. I never thought they were going to return to Kentucky. After it got, you know, to the end of the season, and you start to see the talk about Tyler Hero, you start to see the talk about what people were thinking about him. He was gone. He's done. But Jordan Wara, you know, there's nine, mock drafts that I went through yesterday and we talked about it yesterday that Jordan Wara shows up in three of them. Two of the three, he's in the second round. One of them, NBADraft.net, he's going 27th. So he's on that, you know, fringe. The Athletic, he's 58. Sports Illustrated, he's 32. NBADraft.net, he's 27. And that's two out of nine that say he's a fringe. That's one out of nine that say he's barely drafted. And it's three out of nine that even say he's drafted. You got six others that are like, probably not. But again, I think he's going to get an invite to the combine. I think he's going to be one of the players that teams might be interested in seeing up close and personal work out and go through the combine and get some workouts as well to see what his offensive game, how that translates to the NBA, and if other deficiencies can be worked on now in the NBA and the pros, rather than, hey, you should probably go back to school, work on those, and then, you know, a year from now, you're going to be in a better spot to be, you know, an NBA player. We'll see if Jordan Wara returns. I think it's more likely than not that he's back with Louisville next year, and if that's the case, well, then Louisville has a real, real chance of being really good, and Chris Mack has real pressure in this had better be a second weekend team almost. That's the preseason expectations you would think at that point of this probably needs to be a team that's going to the Sweet 16. And also, you got to beat Virginia. If Kyle Guy keeps his name in. If Guy keeps his name in and Jordan Wara takes his name out, then you're, and that's going to be May 29th is the date that is the final day to take your name out of the NBA draft. So it's going to be a while. We got about 6 weeks before that deadline, because the combine is until the 19th, May 14th through the 19th, and then it's 10 days after that you got to, you know, decide whether or not you're going to take your name out of the draft. So you're looking at May 29th to decide if you're going to return to school. It's a long time to wait to get some of these answers, but a lot of those things end up coming in due time, and it's one of the things I thought about with Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson. when the news came down earlier today that Keldon Johnson was going to, you know, keep his name in the draft and there was no chance of him returning, one of the things I thought is, I mean, I think it's a really cool thing that they've done that, right? Like, how many other players are like, well, you know, I'm going to sort of keep the options open. It's like, no, you're not. Hero put his name or the video out on Friday. And on Monday or Tuesday, he's like, yeah, I'm staying in. Like, he got, there wasn't a whole lot of talk or thought, really, that he was going to return. So he puts his name in there, he gets some feedback, and it's like, all right, the feedback's what I wanted, I'm gone. I'm staying in. Instead of, well, I'm going to go through the process, I'm going to go through the combine. Like, you know you're going. Just simply say it, and Kentucky fans can move on. They wish you well, and they move on, and they look to the next season instead of holding out the hope of, well, maybe he returns. Maybe he's going to return. Maybe he's going to return. Don't be Hamidou Diallo. Don't be the guy that waits till the 24th hour and 1 second to announce that you're going to take your name out of the NBA draft at the last possible second that you can do. Don't be that guy. You know you're going. Go. Make the decision. They know they're going, and so they leave all of the wondering and all the guessing and all of the posturing and fingers crossed and, you know, the, you know, examining next year's roster with those guys on it and what if they come back. Like, that's not going to be the case. They're not. They're not. And they made it official so that you can ultimately move on. Cal knew they weren't coming back either. Like Cal didn't need to hear from Keldon Johnson or Tyler Hero in these, you know, latest decisions that they were made. Cal knew those guys were gone. P.J. Washington was gone, you knew that, and Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson were gone, and you knew that as well. And now the roster has a little bit more clarity on what Kentucky looks like next year without Hero, without Keldon Johnson, that it's quickly and it's Higgins running the point. You got Maxey that's going to be one of your scorers. You got wings with Whitney, Brooks, and Allen. You got Sestina that's probably your only power forward right now, and you got Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery. Those are the names right now. And by the way, they got 4 days to decide if they're going to put their name in the NBA draft or not. That's April 21st that you got to have your name in the NBA draft. So they got 4 days. It's a part of the story of Kentucky's roster for next year that we keep talking about. Well, you know, what is Nick Richards? What does E.J. Montgomery do? What do you think they do? They got 4 days to decide. They got till the 21st to figure out what they're going to do. If they're going to put their name in the draft, or if they're going to say, I'm not even testing the NBA, the draft waters. Not even testing it. Because that's what Hagan said. It's what Quickley said. Not that there were questions about Quickley, but still, it's what he said. There were some questions about Hagan's just because of what he was viewed as at points throughout the season. But they've got the April 21st at 11:59 deadline to put their name into the NBA draft that they then have to declare. 4 days. So you'll get a clear picture on E.J. Montgomery and Nick Richards at that point instead of saying, well, there's an unknown. What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to go, is Nick Richards going to be back? And, well, you know, he's got a smoking hot volleyball girlfriend and he may not want to go anywhere yet because I bet he can not find any girls in the NBA if Nick Richards were to decide to go somewhere else and play pro. But, you know, he's really close to this girl in college. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe that's what keeps him from going somewhere and making money. Like, hey, you know, your plans of being a pro after your sophomore year, regardless of result, that you were even going to go overseas and start making a lot of money. About that, you really like your girl. Now, he would not be the first one to change plans based on, you know, being a sophomore in college and being in love. being 20 years old and being overly infatuated and in love with a girl or a guy and saying, you know what, these were my plans. They are now changed. I'm going to do this because it involves being around this person. That may be the case. 21st, we'll have a better idea of what that is. And I think it's going to be a while before we know about Jordan Wara. I don't know that Stephen Enoch is getting a combine invite. Is he at Portsmouth combine right now? Probably should have looked to see that. I know Kerry Blackshear is. He's at the Portsmouth combine right now. That's a 4-day event, and it goes until the 20th. And it's only for, well, you know what? He's not, because it's for seniors. So never mind. He's not there. It's only for seniors. He couldn't be there. That's why Kerry Blackshear can be there, is because he's a senior and he can grad transfer. All right, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Joe Oliva has stepped down at LSU. And there were reports this morning about some major news that was going to happen at LSU. And I'll be honest, my first thought is, okay, did more information come in that LSU got? Is Will Wade now out? Were they just simply following the process of what is the contract to then make the decision that you've been fired after they reinstated him. Like, I didn't know if there was some loophole, like, you know, Rick Pitino suing the university because they didn't follow a certain criteria and they didn't follow, you know, the days, and Rick Pitino having his, you know, time in front of the in front of the board of trustees, and the fact that there were some issues and technicalities in the way that they went about their meetings, and the fact that he felt he was not fired for cause, and he was fired without cause, and he wants every dime that's left on his contract. So I thought maybe that was involved with Will Wade, but it's actually Joe Oliva who is stepping down as the athletic director at LSU. And one of the later reports is that LSU is searching for a splash athletic director that has a track record in hiring big name football and basketball coaches. Now, who the hell looks for an AD that does not have a history of hiring good football and basketball coaches? Unless just, you know, you have to hire big name guys. Well, then you're only looking at bigger universities then, right? Like, you're limiting the pool. You're limiting the pool that you're going to be, you know, getting your AD from. You're not getting your AD from, you know, Murray State. No offense to Murray State. You know, he's not going out and hiring big-time football and basketball coaches. Names in terms of big, splashy name hires. But the fact that that was reported, it does sort of take you down the road of, wow, they're looking for somebody that's, you know, hired big-time basketball coaches before. Don't they have a young one right now? Don't they have one that's early in his tenure? Don't they have one that's just building the program that they just reinstated? You know, why would they be looking for that? I mean, come on, he's a younger guy, is that Will Wade? Is he even 40 years old yet? I don't know. But then you go back and you look at the statement. And this is where I think it kind of gets interesting. And maybe there's more clarity, and maybe it all makes a little bit more sense when you're like, but this is so convoluted. How did he go from not talking, them suspending him, then him talking and them going, sounded good to us, you're reinstated. So Joe Oliva's statement that he released says, this is not for him stepping down. This is when they reinstated Will Wade. So the university regrets that Coach Wade did not, this is in the middle. They did, you know, their original part about their reinstating him and blah, blah, blah. The university regrets that Coach Wade did not choose to fulfill his obligations to LSU when he was first asked to do so. However, the seriousness of the allegations and Coach Wade's prior refusal to refute them could not be ignored without exposing the university and the basketball program to great risk. Protecting LSU and preserving our integrity must always be our first priority. Now, here's the part that gets interesting. Coach Wade's explanations and clarifications offered during the meeting, absent actual evidence of misconduct, satisfy his contractual obligation to LSU. So there's a part of it, too, when you start to read between the lines, that then they say, you know, I've recommended that Coach Wade's suspension be lifted and allowed to resume coaching responsibilities, that you kind of read between the lines that they put in there that he's satisfied his contractual obligation absent actual evidence of misconduct. Because right now, they don't have actual evidence of misconduct. They have the transcript of a wiretap in which he says, I made him a strong-ass offer. This smart thing. Now, is that smart as in lowercase s smart thing? Or is it this capital S smart thing if you're going through and transcribing what was said? We all think it's capital S, right? We all think it's Javonte Smart, not just, hey, there's this really smart thing going on that this university is doing, and it's kind of cool, right? I mean, let's just lowercase that S, and everything's fine. Like, he made him a strong-ass offer. Like, absolutely.
We found this great new tool to teach kids in classes. We call it PowerPoint. Nobody's ever used it before.
And it just, and so this PowerPoint thing, and it's like, wait a minute. You've got a dude whose name is Jeff PowerPoint on your team. What were you talking about? Are you talking about a PowerPoint, or are you talking about the player PowerPoint? This is interesting. But absent actual evidence of misconduct. So if I'm guessing what took place, he gets new representation that represented Sean Miller, that represented Bruce Pearl, and that new representation goes, hey, Will, you realize in your contract, you do have to meet with them. You realize in your contract, if you want to get a dime of what they owe you, You can't just simply ignore them. You can't just simply say, no, I'm not going to talk to you. You're contractually obligated to do that, to meet with them. Also, they cannot fire you without actual evidence if they want to fire you for cause. They will have to fire you without cause, and you will get your buyout. But you do have to meet with them. Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's what you're going to have to say, or, hey, here's what I'm going to tell them. Nothing on that wiretap meant I was paying him. I was making him a strong offer about playing time, about ability to go pro at our university with this program, as opposed to the other places he was thinking about. Okay, that's what, I don't know what he said. I don't know what his reasons or excuses or explanations were to Joe Oliva, but it was clearly accepted. It was clearly viewed as, okay, we're good. We're good. You can be reinstated, but only absent actual evidence of misconduct. So his lawyer says, your contract, you have to meet with them. And also, your contract says they cannot fire you without actual evidence. Guess what they don't have right now? Actual evidence. Now, you may not be forced to testify. That's going to come out on Friday, more than likely. And if you're not forced to testify, and some of the wiretaps don't actually make it into public record, and all they have is that little snippet of a wiretap transcribed conversation, they don't have actual evidence. So you're fine. You've met with them. You've satisfied your contractual obligation. Like, all of this stuff is like back and forth about, you know, who's going to have to pay the least amount of money and how much money can you get if you eventually are fired? Or are you just resetting the shot clock right now to when, well, I can get paid for a little bit of time and I'm going to take a chance? Maybe I won't have to testify. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to tell them this is the explanation that I had, and I'm going to take a chance that I don't have to testify, and also no actual evidence comes out about what happened in this smart thing, capital S-M-A-R-T thing. Because if I tell them the truth, if we're all assuming that that strong-ass offer had to do with more than just decent playing time, if I tell them the truth, I'm fired anyway. If I tell them the truth, I'm going to get a show cause from the NCAA anyway. But right now, they don't have anything except the transcription of this snippet about a strong-ass offer. I didn't talk about money. I didn't talk about cars or gifts or anything like that. I didn't discuss any of those things. Maybe it comes out in court. Maybe it doesn't. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to take, you know why? Because it's the only play you got. It's the only play you got. You got one chance. Hope that this is all they have. And if they don't, well, gave it a shot. Thanks, guys. It's been fun. I'm going to sit out my non-compete like Bruce Pearl, and I'll be back. You just wait. I'll be back. What's a smaller program that never really had success? Smaller program that's like never really had success at a bigger Iowa State or something like that. Well, no, Iowa State's had a little more success than Auburn.
Nebraska?
Yeah, because they had Ty Lue.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and Danny Knee for a while.
I don't know if they've ever won a small program, but they've never had success.
They've never won an NCAA tournament game. Like, right. Auburn has never been in the Final Four, never won a national championship, but they had Chuck. Like, they had Barkley. And so it's like, oh, you know, Auburn, you know, they got Charles Barkley's a pretty damn good player. You know, they had that guy, and he was good, and they're in the SEC, and they'll pay. But like that, like, where is Will Wade going to resurface at something like that? Maybe it is Nebraska, although that's the job you go to get fired. Good luck, Fred Hoiberg. I'm not sure. Like, you take your chances. And maybe that's this whole thing, is he's reinstated because he finally met with him. And Joe Oliva even said it in this statement. Coach Wade's explanation and clarification offered during the meeting, absent actual evidence of misconduct, satisfy his contractual obligation to LSU. So we'll find out. Again, Friday could be a really, really interesting day in college basketball, because that's when the NCAA Division I Council is expected to vote on the grad transfer proposal, which would make a school give up an extra scholarship the next year if you take a grad transfer, and that grad transfer in his 1 year of eligibility does not actually graduate with a grad degree, you then are being forced to use a scholarship that next year. So two scholarships for 1 year is what you would be using. It's like a guy who would have to sit out a year. It's like, you know what it is? It's Older Hauser right now at Marquette. Older Hauser at Marquette has to sit out a year, and he'd have 1 year to play. But he's going to take two scholarships to play 1 year. They're essentially doing that for grad transfers if you do not graduate in your whatever particular program it is that you would go into. That's Friday, and the expected ruling on the prosecutor's attempt to keep Sean Miller and Will Wade off the witness stand. Defense has subpoenaed them. They want them to testify. They want them to have to get up there and tell the truth about what's going on in their programs, about the fact that Christian Dawkins is not just simply out here willy-nilly, that this is going on in a lot of different places, and here's all the other different things that they were doing as well. And it's not just with Javonte Smart, not just with Ayton, that there's a lot of different players involved. And the prosecutors do not want this to be about college basketball in general. They want this to be about Christian Dawkins. So they don't want to put the NCAA and college basketball on trial. They want to put Christian Dawkins on trial. So we don't want those guys getting on the witness stand and making it seem like this whole thing happens all the time. We don't want that. It's detrimental to our case. We want this to be specific about this guy does this. Not everybody. This guy does it. That could come out on Friday as well. Friday, you got some racing going on. Keeneland, we're getting closer and closer to the Derby. You know, that's only a couple of weeks away. We are a couple of weeks from being out at trackside, backside, frontside at Churchill Downs. You know, all of that is going on. Keeneland, big meets as well. TVG, the spot, the place to go for all the pre-Derby. You've checked them out with the qualifier races, hopefully. Hopefully you had some money and some scratch down on some of those. What's the impact of Mike Smith? You know what you can do? You go to TVG.com, and they've got all the analysts there. They'll explain, look, Mike Smith chooses Omaha Beach. What does that mean for the chances in the Derby? They've got explanations of that. They've got all the analyst picks at TVG.com. They've got the Amazon Fire Stick, the Roku, the Apple TV, that you can watch all of those things, and they'll give you as many tips as possible that you can get, and also help you along the way to be able to make some of your selections. Lord knows I need all the help I can get when it comes to that, all right? There's one thing in picking, you know, maybe some golfers and some player pool, but when it comes to the horse racing, not being, you know, the being more of the uninitiated throughout the years and more osmosis than anything, I need the help, and I get that at TVG. And here's a cool part of what they're doing right now. Download the TVG app today, or you go to tvg.com/Jason, and you get this exclusive offer. TVG will double your first deposit up to $100 within 15 days. Wait, there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, TVG will give you an extra free $20 to bet. So now you're playing with $220. And a real cool thing going on, they've got plenty of promotions. They've got a money-back special. If you've got a win ticket and your horse finishes second or third, they'll give you your money back. That, by the way, is going to be all day Derby Day. They're going to have those money back specials all day Derby Day as well. They've got the Super 8, which is a free $100,000 contest. They've got the mobile app that's easy to use to be around. We talked about legalized sports gaming yesterday and the difference between what's going on in West Virginia and Rhode Island and some of these other states, as opposed to New Jersey, that's got the online gaming, the app, much easier for them to be able to place some bets, to be able to really stay in contact. TVG does that as well, and you can watch the live horse racing on your Amazon Fire Stick, Roku, or the Apple TV. It is the most exciting time in horse racing. It is underway, and you can sign up at TVG today, make a first deposit, and they will match it up to $100. They'll do that within 15 days. And there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, you get an extra free $20. Do not miss out on this exclusive offer. Download the TVG app or go to tvg.com/Jason. Sign up. That is tvg.com/Jason. Age and residency restrictions apply. Void where prohibited by law. See full terms and conditions at tvg.com/Jason. We will talk with Matt Norlander on the other side of the break. We do that at ESPN 680 105.7.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.